Welcome to the HR Happy Hour Show. My name is Steve Bowes. I'm excited to be here today. Trish not with us today. She is still traveling, making her way back from HR Tech Europe. But I'm here and I'm very excited for the show today because for me and where I sit in HR and HR Tech, probably the two biggest topics of the year and probably for many years to come, at least this year, are AI, artificial intelligence, of course, and skills. Learning, you know, developing skills, learning skills, assessing skills, hiring based on skills. The skills conversation is everywhere in HR, and as is the AI conversation. And we're going to talk about them both. And we're also going to talk about some new technology kind of sitting in that nexus of AI and skills. And we're joined by a friend of the show, frequent guest, and back again today is Yvette Cameron. Yvette is the Senior Vice President of Global HCM Product Strategy at Oracle. Yvette, great to see you and welcome back to the HR Happy Hour Show.
Thank you, Steve. I'm always excited to have this conversation with you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, it's great to have you. It's great to have you in what is a very busy time of the year for folks in the HR business, in the HR tech business, with events everywhere. And we'll talk a little bit about the Unleash event that's happening really right now as this show posts. But it's good to see you. And thank you for taking a little bit of time with us. You know, before we get into some of the details of the announcement, the new capabilities in Oracle Grow is the announcement we want to talk about some is, we've been AI'd to death now for about a year and a half or so, maybe in HR, Yvette, but where are we at with AI? Like, what are customers telling you? Oracle's got a great point of view around AI. Let's talk a little bit about just AI in HR in general before we dive into a little bit about what's happening with the products.
So I'd want to challenge you, Steve. Do you think we've been AI'd to death or have we been AI hyped to death?
Yeah, maybe both, right? Exactly.
I tell you, I am amazed at how quickly this market is moving. I know that when ChatGPT came out, what was it, November of 22,
right?
With 9 months, you know, even our own organization was actually shipping product. And, you know, I think we had our first 8 or 9 use cases shipping within 9 months. And you know, a lot of vendors talking about it. There's a lot of AI out there, of course, but the generative AI piece is just, you know, phenomenal. And it's really causing people to rethink. Where are we? We are definitely high in the hype cycle. And
right.
I'm seeing a lot of fear and concern. Are we ready to move forward? Do we need to put a governance council in place, et cetera? And I've got to tell you, I feel really strongly, Steve, that that HR leaders or CHROs actually have to take a really bold step. I think the first mistake is asking for governance councils. That means clamp down. How do we slow this down? How do we put the brakes on until we've checked every single box and everything's going to be perfect? Things are not going to be perfect for a while, right? We're still learning. We're learning how to get rid of all the hallucinations and AI, all the tech vendors, et cetera. And I can guarantee you that for every CHRO that's sitting there saying, well, we're going to wait, we're putting our council in place, we're thinking about next year, across their organization, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong, but I think across their organization, AI and Gen AI is being used every day. Managers are popping job descriptions into some free, you know, a ChatGPT type capability. And certainly, you know, candidates are using AI to write their resumes, et cetera. The longer you wait as a leader, the more risk you're introducing to your organization. That's kind of our point of view. We've got to move fast, right? We all want to think big about what's possible. But I think we need to start small, move fast. It's kind of our mantra in a lot of the AI-related technologies nowadays.
Yvette, I do agree with you, right? Because when you talked about the tendency for wanting to create some governance around this, or it implies centralization and a little bit of control. And what I was thinking, just as you said it the same way, Yvette, was people are out there using these tools already, right?
Exactly.
Because they've adopted them or experimented with them. You know, because they're free, many of them are free to use. Just go out on the web and use ChatGPT or Claude AI, I was playing with, or Copilot. And it's interesting because, We've seen this happen in other types of enterprise technology, whether it was collaboration tools or chat tools or even mobile phones, for gosh sakes, right? Or tablets even, right? People started adopting them in their personal lives and then wanted to use them, right, in their professional capacities, and started to look to their organizations first, and then the organizations look to their providers, right, to make these capabilities available to them in a way that they want to use. So I'd agree with you that it's too
And
much.
listen, well, I don't want to give the message that governance is bad. I'm suggesting to CHRO leaders, why don't you call it an AI Innovation Council, right? That kind of implies we're here, we're looking to embrace, how do we do so safely? And then, of course, as vendors, we're talking about how do we help bring safety to the industry through prompt engineering, through, not exposing customer data, et cetera, et cetera. But you're right. I mean, it is, and what I said, people are using it. I'll tell you, I was talking with, or I had an opportunity to talk with a customer in France, and I wanted to get my message across, but they're of course they speak English as well, but I wanted to show that I was really in tune with them. And I used a free AI tool to take my little 5-minute presentation and convert it to my speaking French. And the eyes were looking and the lips were appropriate for the language and it sounded good. I assume it was accurate, but I didn't use it because I wasn't totally sure. But if my company had brought it forward, then I would have used it. So, I mean, I'm a pure example, right? Even I didn't do it, but I was close to using it myself. So there you go.
Yeah, that's a great example and a great kind of. There are so many really interesting and innovative ways to apply these capabilities in both in the enterprise and without. But yeah, just not embracing them, not being fearful of them, and trying to find those use cases that make the most sense for your organization. And Oracle's approach specifically, I remember last year we were at CloudWorld, I think, and doing the HCM kind of point POV around, hey, this is what we're doing. We're doing it thoughtfully. We're thinking about the way these tools work best. They're, whether it's authoring or summarization or doing recommendations around data, right? And nudges and things like that. And it's very
Well, it
coherent approach.
thank you. And it's a start. Again, we're just at the tip of this iceberg. There's a lot of hype and people are talking about all the different things we can do. And truthfully, I do believe that Gen AI is going to completely change the way we interact with software, completely change. And our philosophy that we've started just recently talking about it, for years it was mobile first. And now I think we're looking at Gen AI first, right? What is that experience like when you design the interactions for Gen AI? And that's what our new Redwood user experience is enabling, these new interaction patterns. So it's a very natural process for us to move forward. But if people are afraid of assisted authoring with Gen AI, imagine when there's no transaction, or imagine when it's doing analysis for you and making recommendations in all new ways, right? And reading policies and giving you guidance based on the policies of the organizations. Can you trust it, et cetera? We're just at the tip of the iceberg. And I don't even think that we have fully imagined what's possible in enterprise software in the next 5 years. It's going to be amazing.
Some would say it's probably the biggest sort of leap forward in enterprise tech since, I guess, the cloud, right, would have been the last big sort of paradigm shift, right? And I guess mobile to some extent too, but I think this may even be bigger than mobile, as you suggest, right?
Indeed.
So
Indeed.
we've talked a few minutes about AI, and I started the show saying the two things, right, that are sort of dominating the discourse in HR these days are AI, of course, and skills, right? I mentioned skills, and I'd love to talk a little bit about skills because, again, this kind of feeds into this pretty significant product announcement we want to talk about as well. So many organizations are wrestling with skills, right? In terms of let's figure out how we identify which skills the employees might have, which skills the organization needs, what skills might we be able to develop fairly easily based on those skills, and on and on and on. This boy, that one single word, skills, if it weren't for AI, skills would be it, right? That's all we'd be talking about. But it's important, and I don't mean to be flippant about it. So many organizations are thinking about skills and skills-based approaches to many of the talent management functions. Oracle spent a lot of time on this and had built a lot of skills capabilities into the products. I'm sure you've got some things to say about how organizations are maybe shifting a little bit how they're approaching some of these talent management functions.
So, as you well know, we introduced a concept several years ago, I think about 3 years ago, maybe four, called dynamic skills. And that is now available to 100% of our customers, right? In Cloud HCM, everybody has access to this AI-driven engine that will, connect skills and adjacencies, et cetera, to the various processes. But even with that, organizations still struggle with, yeah, but we're not really sure how to start. And we're having a hard time understanding or even thinking about where the skills are in the organization and what do we really need. And part of the challenge here, Steve, is that HR doesn't always really know the business of the business, right? As HR leaders and as chief learning officers, we set the skills that we think are needed for the jobs that we're posting. We set the learning curriculum for those jobs, right? Here are the things that you need to learn, and here's the certifications you need to have. But nobody really knows the business like the business leader. I'll tell you as one example in my organization, the skills that I need in my product strategy organization are different from the skills that another product strategy team needs because there's different levels of maturity in the line of business. We're organized differently up to our executive VP. So I might have a focus in one area more so than another, et cetera. Only I really know, what's needed. In fact, I have reading and some analysts and different documents that I want my team to need to read and follow that our head of talent development or our head of HR has no idea about. So
Right.
this, I think, has been one of the fundamental gaps in really executing on a skills strategy. It can't be fully HR. HR led. You need to give the business the tools that they need to take ownership of driving the skills that they need in their team. And so that's what our new product announcement is all about. As I mentioned, several years ago, we introduced dynamic skills. Last year, we introduced Oracle Grow, which was focused on the employees' success in the organization, either self-directed success or guided by, they're wanting to look to growing their careers. And we brought an AI, essentially, we called it the AI kind of a personal career coach to the employee. But now this year, we focused entirely on the needs of that business leader.
Okay.
HR delivers the tools. We call it Grow for Business Leaders. HR makes those tools available. They set some of the original parameters on here's some things you can learn, et cetera, et cetera. But ultimately, the individual business leader has the ability to create those strategic roles and the skills and qualifications, those levels of skills that they need, and also assign the resources that they know are going to best fit their organization. And by putting this power into the hands of business leaders, it really lets them set the stage for how they're going to take ownership and drive the success of their teams. So this is Grow for Business Leader. This is the announcement that we're making this week at
Right.
Unleash. And lots of great capabilities, but the bottom line is I like to call it business-led HR architected. HR makes the capabilities available by deploying Grow out to the organization, and the business leaders have those tools. And so they're creating strategic roles, they're identifying those skills. Of course, they have a full view into analytics and how people are progressing. And there's great transparency for the employee because for the first time, they can really see not just recommended, skills and jobs and various things, but they can see specifically how their role and what's critical by as conceived by their manager for their role, and make sure that their investments are really meeting and aligned with the needs of their manager. So we're very excited. There's a lot of aspects, but you probably have a question for me right there. So let me stop
Well,
and
I
talk.
think so. Well, I like it. I like where you're going with this, and I like what the team has done here, because you're kind of bridging that gap between really powerful HR capabilities, but then empowering leaders to really make those decisions and help really organize, manage, and lead their teams and help develop their people. Because as you said, very, I think, quite rightly and importantly, that development piece for people and for teams, and developing those capabilities and what capabilities are needed, are often, if not maybe always, right, best understood by those line managers and those business leaders, right? Not necessarily the HR team. You made a great example in your own team. You're a product strategy organization, but there's probably another product strategy organization over at Oracle, say, in charge of finance
ERP or
application.
finance, exactly.
Right. And the maturity of those products is in a different place. Their market penetration is in a different place. Their competition is different. There's a lot of things that are a little bit different, right, about those two roles. And so what you and your team really need to do and need to focus on and develop is going to be a little bit different, right, than that those other teams. And you as a business leader need those tools to both visualize it, to see it, understand it, and then try to help employees close any gaps, right, that may exist.
Exactly.
So
Exactly. Now,
I love the focus here.
yeah, thank you. And I will tell you that this investment actually came directly out of our many, many, many customer engagements through our customer advisory board, through talking with so many organizations over the last probably year and a half, and seeing that despite the focus on helping employees drive themselves for learning, et cetera, and all of the great advances across learning systems, ultimately managers were missing that tool. Now, we're talking about developing skills associated with a strategic role and the resources that are necessary. So of course, with skills comes AI. You cannot spell skills
Yeah,
with AI.
we
Okay,
just
maybe you
circled back
can, but
now to the
still.
AI conversation. Right.
And so, of course, inherent in this solution are things such as helping the manager, that business leader, define that strategic role by, you know, surfacing up skills. We use generative AI to help them author the definition of their roles and what's needed, et cetera. We are making nudges and doing analytics, right, using AI-powered tools. But I think the biggest impact from a skills perspective is that now with these investments that we've made to really enable the business leader, it became clear, Steve, that many organizations have, you know, been trying to use skills in their organization, or they bought a library or a competency library a while ago, or they've got a recruiting solution where they're able to, you know, track and get some skills and talent intelligence. Maybe they've got a talent marketplace, or they're using a learning system or ours where there is skills associated. But the challenge with these with many of these approaches is that they're disconnected. And how does a business leader really get their arms around the skills when they're located in a recruiting system, a learning system, a talent marketplace, et cetera? So what we've also done as part of this announcement is we have opened up our dynamic skills platform, and now it is a skills aggregation platform. So no matter where you're starting, no matter if you have no skills data in your HCM system, whether you have, you know, you've already got your own library, or you're using one, two, or three, or four different skills solutions out in the marketplace, we will ingest all of that. We will take that into our dynamic skills platform. If you want to use AI, because I know that many organizations are still not there, if you want to use it, we can enrich it, of course. If you don't want to, you can manage it yourself. We've got a very robust curation console for HR. And of course, we pre-deliver all the plumbing into your payroll and your succession and your
Right.
recruiting and learning, et cetera. So for the first time, now organizations don't have to say, is do I can I only use Oracle, or do I have to make a choice over here with this third party and then integrate it? Keep doing what you're doing. Start wherever you are. We've got the tools to enrich and take you forward. And this is where I think it's going to be really impactful in our conversations this week, because so many organizations are struggling with, we've got these other things we're doing, or we're not ready for AI. Wherever you are in your skill strategy, which of course includes, are you ready for AI or not? We're there to help. So huge news for us. I'm very excited about being an open aggregation skills platform now.
Yeah, that's like not to be overlooked in this announcement, right?
Exactly.
We talk about developing a leadership, driven approach to skills management, and leaders having visibility to the skills of their team and the skills that they need. This opening up the platform and allowing organizations to bring in data from other systems that they might be using is important as well.
Hey Steve, can I tell you, there's one thing though I want to make sure we don't overlook. When you started asking the question, you said, "Oh, skills is for everything. It's for learning and recruiting, et cetera." And I just echoed that. But one of the, another kind of exciting piece, I think, for me from these investments in this Grow for Business Leaders is, imagine as different business leaders across the organization are saying, "Wait, here's my strategic roles. Here are the skills and the proficiency levels I need for these roles that right now are strategic. And I might redefine some additional ones in 3 weeks or 3 months. And here are the resources that I want beyond just the learning that's in our catalog. I want my team to be, following this blog and following this analyst and looking at these links, et cetera, talking with these coaches and mentors." Now, from an analytics perspective, HR can step back and watch the rise and the growth of these strategic role guides that business leaders are creating. They can see the skills that are being requested, so they're getting the demand, a vision into this demand for skills. They're able to see how individual development is aligning to those requirements, so they can see the growth and the availability, the resource. They can also see, what are the resources, the development resources that are in demand across the organization? So maybe, they're having visibility now into documents and mentors and various things that they didn't envision when they set up their learning programs or when they budgeted, development resources. So again, by putting power in the hands of business leaders and listening to their needs, HR suddenly has an insight into the supply, into the demand, not just of talent, but into how the job architecture needs to be structured. These are the strategic roles. These are the skills that should inform HR on how to redefine those positions and roles. And it should also define how they should be investing in their workforce. So for me, this is a transformational investment. It's not just about developing people. It's not just about putting power into the hands of leaders. It's also about really having a bottom up, from the business level, driving the requirements of the skills and the resources across the organization back to HR so that they can make the right decisions on investments. I'm super excited about what's going to happen here.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you. And I appreciate your enthusiasm for this because it's right in a world where we are wrestling with still many organizations wrestling with talent shortages, skills requirements, skills gaps, right? Those things really haven't gone away in many organizations. Equipping leaders and organizations with tools to help them make those connections between the most important roles that they have in the organization and aligning the people in the organization to not just to meet the roles, but meet the role requirements, but also to kind of develop themselves, right? And reach their goals, right? There's a whole another side of this that's endemic to Oracle Grow and the whole Oracle, really the ME employee experience platform, which is really all about employees as well, right? Helping them learn, develop, meet their goals, and really be fulfilled, right? While they're doing it. And that's a huge element of this too. So it's kind of squaring
Oracle
the circle.
Grow. Yeah, thank you. Oracle Grow did it was released as part of the Oracle ME platform. As I said, the focus was on the employee, and now it's branched out. And you're hearing my passion, because as I said, This came from talking with organizations. This
Yeah.
isn't something we created. It just, out of our heads in the idea lab. We saw the feedback. We heard the challenges. People weren't asking for Oracle Grow for business leaders. They were asking, how do we better arm our managers in this really tough time where things are changing and they know the needs? We're putting requirements on managers, and they have to figure out how to solve the problem. I know that we all know technology is a leapfrog thing. I'm sure in another 2 to 4 years we're going to see many more vendors doing what we're doing today, and we'll be in some other place. But the
Right.
point is, we're, meeting the needs of business. And I think that for the first time, this HR architected, business led, this concept that HR can't, it really can't be responsible for knowing everything about the business. What it can be responsible for is arming the business with the tools and the guidance to be successful. And that's how else can you manage agility in an organization, right? So this, you have to use the power of many and your business leaders. So again, it's a very fulfilling investment for us. I love how our customers have really come forward and been co-developers and just really, really driving the capabilities that they need as businesses.
You bet. That's a great way to sum it up. And it's one of the things we've heard consistently from the Oracle team over the last, I don't know, half a dozen years is just how much innovation and new development comes from that customer community. It's a very active one. It's a very involved one. And it's one that you guys listen to. Chris Leone talks about it all the time. And I it's apparent in how you guys have been innovating. So, to sum up quickly, the new release, the new announcement, Oracle Grow for Business Leaders, that you can, we'll link out to the announcement today. Yvette and some of the other folks at the Oracle team are at Unleash as we speak, as you listen to this show. So come see them there as well, and maybe check out what's happening there. And we'll put some links to the product announcement as well, as well as the press release in the show notes too. But super exciting, Yvette, to see you. Thank you for taking a few minutes out of an incredibly busy month of May here to spend with us and to share the good news and share your enthusiasm about what's happening at Oracle. We share it as well. We've loved working with the team over there over many years and continue to innovate. And I'm looking forward to seeing a demo as we start making our top products of the year awards decisions soon. So,
We
Yvette,
are already.
thank you so much. It's great to see you.
Thank you, Steve. You take care.
All
Bye
right.
now.
Thanks to everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our friends at Oracle for setting this up and helping us spread the word about what's happening there with Oracle Grow for Business Leaders. Truly, check it out. So much innovation happening at Oracle. Multiple product of the year award winners over the last several years, and it's not surprising given their commitment to their customers as well. So, all right, that's it for today's show. My name's Steve Bowes. Thank you for listening. Catch all the archives at hrhappyhour.net. We will see you next time, and bye for now.